All right, without further ado, we have our anchor man here, Marianne Joseph, coming up to talk about transparency and shared success. Obsolescence is coming, if you like it or not. Will you stand or will you fall? And look for the tentacles.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, here it is. So, good afternoon. My name is Marianne Joseph. I drink and I know things. I will tell you a story about tentacle number eight. Why tentacle number eight? Some time ago, but let me first introduce myself. I'm Marianne Joseph, and I'm in the aviation business for 40 years. And my company is KLM, Royal Dutch Airlines, and there last Monday, there were 100 years in aviation. So we have some experience with airplanes. When I say I know things, is that I'm contributing to few conferences. FOAM is one of the conferences, one of my favorites. Another conference is Avionics Maintenance Conference, and I was chairman there till last April. Then they retired me, and they gave me an award, so I'm a man of the decade. So you are looking now at the man of the decade. And now we'll return back to the octopus. It is scary. I was first thinking to put a cartoon octopus on a picture, but cartoon octopus is not very scary. That octopus is much more scary. Why? Because every of those tentacles, it can strangle you. Let me introduce you to tentacles. Tentacle number one is limited availability of parts and repairs. Tentacle number two, high price escalation. Tentacle number three is reduction of content of manuals. Now we have tentacle number four, which is poor delivery performance. Tentacle number five is end users agreement or non-disclosure agreement. Of course, lawyers, they penetrate in our engineering environment. Well, we are now at tentacle number six, pushing for additional business. Tentacle number seven is limited access to tooling, and tentacle number eight is obsolescence. How I came to octopus and to all those tentacles, I could tell you a story and do presentation for every of those tentacles. Obsolescence is very special. Some time ago, I've done investigation. It was not CSI New York, but it was CSI Amsterdam. I've done investigation, and I figured out that suppliers, they're using those eight tentacles to make life of avionics shop or a repair shop miserable. It's a lot of data in all those tentacles, but let's talk about obsolescence first. Why is aviation concerned about obsolescence? There is that balance between commercial of the shelf market and aviation business. If I would ask you, what do you think, what is the average life of a mobile phone or smartphone? Probably you will say, well, 1 to 2 years. Sometimes longer, but average 2 years. You change your phone every 2 years. If you talk about computers, it's about 3 to 4 years. Talking about cars, 10 to 15 years. Of course, here are some British people. They will say, "Ah, we have a Rolls Royce, and it is more than 15 years." But that is isolated case in our investigation. Average car is at 10 to 15 years, and then you buy another one. And then you go to aviation, and airplane have to last 30 to 40 years. It's built to last. I thought when I was first time at the FOAM about 3 years ago that aviation is isolated case, but then I learned trains, they also last 30 to 40 years. Ships, also 30 to 40 years. Big buildings, skyscrapers, also. So if it lasts longer, you have to maintain it for a long time. There are types of obsolescence. When we maintain airplane, we face obsolescence in piece parts, chemicals, and processes, obsolescence of special tooling, obsolescence of test equipment, obsolescence of software, with a remark, some people, they say software cannot be obsolete because you have it on server and then you copy it and then you can use it and it's not obsolete. That's true. But if you change any peripheral, your software might not work and it became obsolete because peripheral is different. You have to adjust software and you need somebody who can do it, who has enough knowledge. And then we came to obsolescence of people. Obsolescence of people, like me, old guy, I was collecting information for 40 years. If I win lottery, I will not work one more day. I mean, I will have to win more than $1. That means that all the knowledge and all the information what I was collecting in the last 40 years about aviation, I'm not transferring and I'm taking with me. So that is quite a serious problem, and I think today we mentioned that in one of the presentations. So now we are talking about causes of obsolescence. It starts with the legislation and mandates, then changes in technology, end of lifetime of components, shelf life. If you talk about people retire, so obsolescence is caused. Then another cause is economy in the market. So my question to you is, do you know who is Sisyphus? Okay, well, for people who don't know, let me explain. This is a Greek guy. He was rolling the stone uphill, and when he was at the top, the stone fell down, and he was rolling it again. Sometimes I think in aviation business, if you have airplane and you have components in the airplane, all those components, it's like the cycle of Sisyphus. Only life cycle of airplane is about 40 years and life cycle of component is about 7 to 10 years. So you start with a component concept, then it goes to design, and then start to sell components to Boeing or Airbus or to users of the airplane for spare parts, and then you get that announcement, end of the production. That doesn't necessarily mean that they will not support it. There are still engineers around who have designed components. They can help you. There is still material on the shelf that you can purchase. And then you think, okay, I can handle it for next couple of years. And then you get another announcement, end of the support. Engineers, they are assigned to new projects. They're not in the area anymore, they cannot help you, and all the piece parts are exhausted from the shelf. By the time that you realize it, it is the end of the life of the component, and then you're stuck with your airplane. If you compare it with the airplane life cycle, then life cycle is about 40 years. There are different phases in airplane life cycle. I call that graph a camelback road. So there are many things happening in the lifetime of airplane. And then if you talk about components which are installed in the airplane, it is wise to do check every now and then to see if your component can still be maintained and if you can still use it in the airplane. So when I was working in an obsolescence management group within airing industry activity, we were discussing that graph and we decided to help our engineers in the field and to design a risk analyze obsolescence matrix. How it works? On horizontal axis, we put a probability of occurrence. On vertical axis is a possible impact of obsolescence. So we judge it with the 1, 4, 7, 10 numbers. It can be also 1, 2, 3, 4. We have chosen bigger numbers because once when you multiply those numbers, you will get a bigger number, and it sells much better to our management. It is spooky, and it is more official if number is bigger. So I will give you two examples of in green area, and one example in green area, one in red area. In green area, simple example, it is not critical, probability is not very high, and it is not really something that can hurt. That is a light bulb of the reading light of the pilot. He needs reading light when he wants to read the paper when they're cruising above North Atlantic, or if he wants to read his charts, he needs the reading light. So if that light bulb became obsolete, who cares? You go on the market, you buy a new light bulb, it is 28 volts, and you install it, and it is working. Manufacturer A declare it obsolete, manufacturer B will come in the business. So it is not really a big deal. Another side of the spectrum is, in the red area, is a display in a cockpit. If you examine 737, there are six displays, very expensive displays. And you could expect that display technology in computers is changing rapidly. So in airplane, it is also changing. At a certain moment, they say, well, the backlight is not good enough. We will change backlight. You cannot buy anymore old one, new one. And it goes and it goes and goes. So we have, in the lifetime of 737NG, which is not that old airplane, we have changed display for three times. And every display is $400,000. So it is beneficial to do something to keep that display running, or to change the technology. So after that matrix, you will be at the moment that you can decide. It is low, then you can say, well, if it is low, you can do a reactive approach. If it is high, that red area, then you have to do proactive approach. Reactive approach is probably do nothing and just wait and see. Proactive approach is you need a plan. Then I always have to think about Pocahontas, you know, Elizabeth Warren. When she was in the debate, always she put hand up and say, I have contingency plan. And next time, I have plan. So you need a plan. As obsolescence manager, you need a plan. The life is much easier if you have a plan. Even if plan is not perfect, you will be more relaxed because you go with your plan further than you can solve some glitches and you go on. What I found very interesting is what kind of people can be set in on different projects. So if you choose your obsolescence manager, if there is a reactive approach, that means you decided to wait and see, and then suddenly the obsolescence will hit, then it is better to have a guy who enjoys to work under pressure, enjoys being cold during the night, enjoys to run, spend money immediately, and fix your problem. If it is more complicated, like those displays in the airplane, then it is much better to have a guy who is relaxed, who is organized, who sees big picture, and who can make a plan with a structure, and who will take care. Then, when obsolescence will hit, you will have your budget. That's kind of human factor of in choosing people for different type of obsolescence. And now, specially designed for a foam is a stand and fall matrix. That stand and fall matrix is not only mentioned here in this presentation. I was chairman of obsolescence management group, and for aviation we have designed obsolescence management standard. And in the standard is also that stand and fall graph. That standard was also actually triggered, the whole working group was triggered after my visit to FOAM. I realized that we don't have any standard in aviation. We know almost nothing about theory of obsolescence. So we have this design stand and fall matrix. How it works? We will examine a few situations. Situation one is there is a drop-in replacement, and now mitigation of management of obsolescence will be implement solution, and that is then definitely stand. Situation two is there is no drop-in replacement, so we need redesign of the component. And then the best way is to proceed with bridge buy. So you buy some components, you redesign it, implement solution, and stand. So the situation number three is there is no replacement. And then the only thing what you can do is last time buy or lifetime buy. And then it can be stand or fall. There is one tricky thing in that. Tricky thing is that if you buy a lot of piece parts for your component that you want to repair, at the end of the road you will be a lot of piece. You will have a lot of piece parts on the stock not used, and you have spent money. If you are cheap like Dutch, like we, you are not buying enough. Then you will not get at the end of the road. Your obsolescence will hit you, and you will not have enough piece parts for to maintain that component further. So that is the tricky in that situation. And then situation number four is there is no replacement and there is no lifetime buy and no solution, so that is definitely fall. So let's talk about example. So this kind of proof of the pudding is eating. I will give you one trivial example. Well, that's about lighthouse. Lighthouse in Dutch language is called vuurtoren, and it translated in English is fire tower. Sounds very exciting. Maybe in the past they were building those towers and they put some they were lighting fire, so that people who were on the sea they could see that fire and they would not go there. After that, electricity was introduced, and they were installing 40-watt filament light bulbs in those fire towers, which is inefficient technology. It was introducing more heat than light. But beam was strong enough for 12 miles, which was requirement. And then our smart politicians, they decided it is inferior technology, we will change legislation and we will not use those filament lights anymore. So what are my options to mitigate obsolescence? Option number one, or not option, step number one in my mitigation is bridge buy. So you buy a lot of light bulbs, you build even one more house by the lighthouse, fill it with the shelves, put the light bulbs there, and you can manage for many years with the old technology. Step number two will be technology insertion. So you hire a couple of engineers, they will redesign system, they will change everything so that you can use the LED lighting. And you solve your obsolescence. That is kind of trivial example, but it is really something from real life. And now the most important sheet of all my sheets is a sheet about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That is obsolescence is actually, that is the rule of three. Rule of three is like sex, drugs, and rock and roll, Veni, Vidi, Vici, or French, Roman, countrymen. You remember those three things. In our obsolescence situation, we are talking about prevent, detect, and fix, or PDF. Prevent, detect, and fix. That is sex, drugs, and rock and roll of obsolescence. How it works? If you see the lifetime of the airplane, there is a design and manufacturing phase. In that phase, you have to take care about prevention. I've heard stories about that in last couple of presentations. So you do impact analysis, you select components that you think that component will last lifetime of the airplane, or as long as possible, longer than a few years. You specify those parts, and then at the moment that you hand over airplane to your customer, that Boeing will start detection phase. So what they do is they do impact analysis, surveys. Every 6 months they send survey to all their suppliers asking which of those parts will become obsolete in next 6 months. so that they can make a plan. They fix obsolescence then, and then they say to us, that is the fix. You will maybe not like the price, but you can fly your airplane. So there is another story about commercial bulletin, and I've heard the story about PCNs, that commercial bulletins are coming to purchasing departments and not to engineers. We found that there is a break between engineers and purchasing. They're not getting commercial service bulletins. And in commercial service bulletins is an announcement about obsolescence. Last time buy, lifetime buy, all those announcements there in the commercial service bulletin. Engineers are the only one who can fix it, and they're not getting it. And then you go to the fixed mode. Again, impact analysis, bridge buy, technology insertion. You're trying to get a budget to fix obsolescence, and you can also choose to do nothing and fail. So, last slide, what I would like to invite you to think about tentacle number 8, which is obsolescence. You have heard the story from myself, and think about that possibility that your tentacle number 8 can strangle you, and then you fail. So don't make it happen that our sex, drugs, and rock and roll of obsolescence, which means prevent, detect, and fix, became prevent, detect, and fail. Thank you very much.
Give it up for Marion. Outstanding, sir. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll roll to our first question. Here we go. Oops. How do you get customers to accept the fact that obsolescence is inevitable? Billy Joe's not here today. Billy Joe from Applied Materials.
Okay. What we have customers which are sending components to our workshop for repair. And usually we have contract with the customer and they send 600 part numbers to us for repair. There can be obsolescence in a couple of years when contract will be on the road. My biggest problem is communication between us and our sales department. So how do you get customers to accept this is first to educate your own sales department. What is obsolescence? How to deal with obsolescence? How serious can be obsolescence? So that he will be able to tell customers. So you have to be transparent because obsolescence will hit sooner or later if you're not transparent. If you don't put anything in a contract, if you don't inform your customer, you will have big problems when obsolescence occurs because then you will like to offset some cost to customer. And he will say, "Yo, I never heard about that, and there is nothing in contract, so it is your own cost." So I think the most important is to educate salespeople. Salespeople, that obsolescence is just word, obsolescence. Okay, obsolescence. But there is a meaning behind. There is the tentacle number 8.
Using your sales to communicate to the customer.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is from Ethan at GDCA. With the historical trend of airlines shifting away from owning and maintaining parts towards OEM-provided services and leasing, what is the biggest challenge facing an airline in sustaining older aircraft designs?
Okay. I was thinking about that for some time, and I figured out that there is always a solution. There is a problem that there are a lot of small shops, small MROs, who can do wonderful things, but they have or no marketing or lousy marketing. It is very difficult to find out who can do which repair and which fix for obsolescence. I met a guy who have spent 1 year scanning internet, and he said, "I have a list of hundreds of different shops in US which can fix almost everything in the airplane, and they have lousy marketing, so nobody knows about that. So he had the list. If I have to do something, and if I have a really problem with something, I just have to call him, and he will point me out. Oh, this one is Tulsa. This one is in New York. This one is in Miami. This one is in Spokane. And they can do wonderful things. They can do redesign. They can do great things. And almost nobody knows about that. I think that is the biggest challenge, to track them down, to find them.
Okay. Now let's move over to questions from the floor. Look for the green or the orange.
So now it became exciting.
I got an arm over here.
Yeah, could you please expand your comments on software obsolescence?
Yeah, we were thinking about software obsolescence. I think we have spent half a day discussing. There were six airlines and about 10 suppliers. And we couldn't figure out how to deal with software obsolescence, because some people, they say, well, software is getting old and you lose the software. But what we establish in aviation, that is software library. So we have all the software which is used in airplane, which is used in our test equipment, everything we have in software library. And there are a few servers in a building or in different places. If there is a fire, you just take server and go out, and so you save your software. And then somebody said, well, let's do it that way. Software cannot be obsolete. If you have it in your library, you can copy it, and you can copy it, and you copy it, and it's almost the same. But then you install it in a component or in device, it will work. But if some of the peripherals, some of the IOs will be changed, it doesn't necessarily mean that it will work. Sometimes you install software in a computer. Well, I hate to say it, but we still have some DOS computers in a company. So if you install software in a computer, it will not work, because there is something in a peripheral which prevents it working. That is one of my worries, because somebody remember the story what I was telling, that we had a problem with the compact computer, and I bought it on eBay to save our production line. I mean, that computer we used to pay 20 years ago hundreds of dollars, and you buy it on eBay for $25, and the guy said, well, take the printer, the matrix printer, and all the cables, and the monitor for $25. And then you installed software what we use on another compact computer, it is not working. So the conclusion was, if you change peripherals, software might not work. And then you have a problem, then it is obsolescence.
Okay, very good, right here.
So you had an example up on the screen of a false situation where you had an obsolescence with no last time buy. I would assume in the airline industry, you face a situation where you've had a critical part that went obsolete that you had no immediate replacement for with no last time buy. How did you get through those situations?
Yeah, I cannot say that it happens every day, but it is very often. And after some time, we figure out that commercial service bulletins, which are coming from suppliers, they are going to our purchasing department. They read it. Oh, it's obsolescence, and they just throw it in a garbage can. if they pass it to the engineer, will recognize, oh, that's from that component, and he will drill a little bit deeper to find out what's going on. But he's just cut off information, and then Our department, who is ordering parts, they start to complain a year later, and then you get we warn you, we told you last year that there is last time buy, and then there is a problem, and then sometimes you have to. Yeah, I have a few smart engineers. I hate them, but they are smart, and then I cannot live without them. There is one, he has, I don't know, maybe before he went to sleep, he's reading all those data books, so he knows every IC, he knows every component with all those specifications. So he can figure out where to buy it, but in aviation there is another problem. The part have to be qualified. It is not just you can buy it somewhere, but it have to be qualified. So you need certificate, and that is something what is very difficult to obtain, especially if component is very cheap. Then you have to do a lot of work to test the component, to make it all the data sheets, and to show it to DRs, and then once they see it, they can approve it. So that is quite difficult. And I know that in some
What's that? Oh, we can't hear you from here, I'm sorry.
We can hear you. We need a...
Then they buy from Converge. A little commercial there. Excellent.
Yeah. There is nothing wrong to buy it from Converge or from Aero. But we need data sheet. We need to qualify. I was working on airing specification which will give a guideline how to use commercial off-the-shelf piece parts in aviation. So there are some steps that you have to go. Not everybody knows about that, but that is why we put it in specification. And then if you follow it, it has to be cost-effective. But then when you follow it, then you can come to the end of the process and get your piece parts.
Okay, that's about all the time that we have. Please give it up for Marion.
Thank you.
Well done, sir.